Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for our mission today, message, is actually parts of the epistle and gospel. The gospel is the Beatitudes, familiar words. It says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here's a critical question in our lives. Whose voice is dominant? Yet there are those people who have said that Christianity is for losers. They've said that it's for people who are weak, people who just can't make it on their own. You know, at first glance, maybe our lessons would seem to reinforce the idea that faith is for weak people. I mean, think about it. There's nothing in these lessons that would give comfort to the bold and the beautiful people of our world. I mean, in Matthew's gospel, we have the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Let me ask you, do those groups of people make you think of strength? I mean, get real. Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, merciful, pure in heart. And I think the worldly person might say, give me a break. I mean, what kind of person is Christ seeking? Are we talking about wimps for Jesus? And then we turn to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And you know what? Those are just as discouraging to those who believe that life is about power and accomplishment. Because Paul writes, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So let me ask you, are we a bunch of wimps? Is faith simply a crutch for those who can't make it on their own? Tough questions, but there is an answer. And let's begin here. I want to say that some of the strongest people who have ever lived have been people of faith. I mean, that's my experience. I've seen Christian people weather storms with unbelievable courage and conviction. I've known Christians who take stands that others were too timid to take. I've seen Christian people work and sacrifice long after their pagan neighbors have given up and gone home. When Christ said, blessed are the meek, he was not celebrating those who are perpetual doormats, whose demeanor says, walk on me, walk on me. When Christ said, blessed are the persecuted, he wasn't paying homage to those who refused to stand up for their rights. In fact, it's just the opposite. Christ desires people who are willing to take stands, even when they're threatened with persecution. Those earliest followers of Christ understood this. And that's why they could face all kinds of violence from the state and from their neighbors. Christ wasn't calling people to be spineless wonders. Nothing could be further from the truth. Indeed, he was calling for a strength that exceeds the strength of the world. Let me tell you about a young woman named Gladys Aylward. Many years ago, Gladys entered China as a missionary, and her courage and faith soon earned Gladys the trust of the local Chinese officials. Well, one day, a bloody riot broke out at the local prison. And remarkably, the warden called on Gladys to restore order. Think about it. What could one unarmed woman do against dozens of armed, murderous men? And when Gladys asked the warden that question, the warden replied, "Well, Gladys, you claim that the living God resides inside of you. Surely you will prevail." Well, Gladys breathed a quick prayer and entered the prison gates. Bodies carpeted the inner courtyard. One prisoner, armed with a machete, was chasing men around the yard. And Gladys stepped up to the armed prisoner and commanded him to hand her his knife. And lo and behold, he did. And then Gladys lined up all of the prisoners. She heard their versions of why they had rioted, and she set them to cleaning up the yard. Soon afterwards, Gladys instituted a number of reforms in that prison. She also began leading Bible studies there, and her courage in the face of riots provided a powerful witness among the Chinese people. Would you say that Gladys Aylward was weak? What do you think? Her strength was far greater than that of the strongest man in that prison. You see, Gladys was a devoted follower of Christ, and that is what made her strong. She was meek only in the sense that she was totally devoted to Christ. She was Christ's servant, and she would bow to her Lord, but she would bow to no other. And I think that's what we need to see, that some of the strongest people who have ever lived are people of faith. They're strong in standing up to others because they are meekly submissive to Christ. You see, weak people run away from God. Why? Because surrendering to God would require them to be strong. Surrendering to God would require them to take stands that make them unpopular with their peers. Surrender to God might send them to unfriendly places. Surrender to God might make them uncomfortable and even bring them pain. Remember Mother Teresa? Was she weak? Let me ask you, how many of you would have the courage to bathe the decaying limbs of a leper? How many of you would have the strength to bear the stench of living among the desperately poor, forgotten, and diseased people? I'm going to contend that it is godless people who are spineless, because they live only for themselves. They only do what conveniences them. And when difficult times come, they take refuge in chemicals or some other forms of avoidance. It takes strength to stand for God. It takes courage, a courage that the world cannot know. I'll be honest with you. No one likes to offend his or her neighbors. No one wants to upset the apple cart, particularly when you might be ostracized socially. But that takes a level of commitment unknown to most people. It's a whole lot easier to be among the silent majority than to be a part of the persecuted minority. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us in the Beatitudes. The only way to overcome the fear of what your neighbors may think of you is to stand meekly in front of God and to question what God thinks of you. The only way to overcome being a spineless wonder is to have God give you a new spine when he gives you a new heart. You're as meek as a lamb in front of the Almighty, but in the world, you become ferocious in your determination to fulfill the mission that God has placed in your heart. So I'm going to tell you that some of the strongest people in this world are people of faith. And they find their strength in their meekness before God. I mean, the kind of meekness that Christ is calling us to, it has nothing to do with becoming a spineless wimp. It has to do with hearing a dominant voice in our life. And when we hear the voice of God, that we gain a sense of purpose for our lives. And that's when we draw on strength that is not our own. So let me ask you once again, who are the wimps and who are the warriors? I think that depends on whether or not you're looking through the eyes of humanity or if you're looking through the eyes of God. Amen.